which was made slightly different than stuff. Rather maybe on some speak for 30 minutes, we could have three different sections, and so that is to be cannot tell us a new about or when. Maybe Chris speak this year is not from the bridge trip. Chris, can you stand up and give me a second wave? Two hands away, that's nice of you. So Chris, they're from the bridge trip, so we're obviously praying for you guys on the building. I'm going to update you when we can take an offer into that. Also, Chris is very involved in the logo scope coming to Cali. So any questions about it? I've told Chris he's got to stay around the bar because he can answer any questions as well. Marius is going to come and share for 10 minutes with the OM and the Bosco. And then AJ is going to do Q&A about his Cyprus trip. And then Dan is going to come up and share an update from PNG. And then we're going to pray together. And then after the youth, the youth up there, everyone go to the youth, they're going to be listening up there. There you go. That's my office, so keep your time here, you guys. So Marius is going to come up now. Let's welcome Marius.
All right. Good morning, everyone. It's really good to be in the house of the Lord. And honestly, I'm so surprised by the diversity, because honestly, it feels like home. So I'll tell you more about my home in a few moments. For the beginning, to introduce myself, my name is Marius. I'm originally from Moldova. Really happy to be Dragos here, from my fellow Romanian. So that's already in my home. And Logos Hope, it's a missionary ship that travels around the world. And it's having its tour to the UK right now. So it's going to come to Cardiff. And I think in the next moment, we're going to watch a video about the ship. And then I'll keep talking until I'll be done.
So who is Logos Hope? I think you should have said, Logos Hope, it's a Christian non-profit organization that is part of OM, that we saw the video earlier. The vision of OM is to bring the gospel to people that they have not been reached. Logos Hope, it's part of the same mission, but slightly different. I'll explain to you later on why and how it works. So aboard Logos Hope, we are about 300 crew members from over 65 nationalities, and I'm 99% sure that if you come to the ship and look for somebody from your country, they're going to be there, even from UK, yes. The ship is coming to Cardiff this September, from the 10th of September to the 27th of September, 2006. The last time the ship was here was in 2009, so it takes us quite some time to go around the world. So make sure you don't miss this opportunity to visit the ship. Okay? And on the ship, you can be involved, right? We are missionaries, we are going around the world, but we are not doing anything by ourselves. What we do, we come into countries, we connect the churches, and we are coming alongside them, whatever they are involved. But of course, you can be involved with what the ship is doing while the ship is in Cardiff, for example. So one way that you can be involved in the ship, that would be the volunteer program. Well, on board the Logos Hope, everyone is a volunteer, so we are missionaries, we are zero Pounds came, right? Even the captain, the engineers, everyone. We have chefs, we have doctors, we have family come with their kids on board, we have a school, so we have teachers as well. So everyone is a volunteer. And then if you would like, for example, to experience what is it like to live on a ship for 1 week, you can scan the QR code, go on our website and register to come and join us for 1 week if you have free and see what it's like on board. We can do that for zero cost. So if you're interested, if you have free time, especially for the youth, I think it's summer right now, if I'm not wrong, so it's the best opportunity for you to experience a little bit of missions, right? So that's one way you can be involved with us for the visit in Cardiff. And then if you like it that much, maybe you can speak with your pastor and even come with us on board for 3 months or 1 year or 2 years. That's usually our commitment. For 6 months, that's not a problem. Okay, now you can as well come on board and experience God's global story, right? So what does that mean? You can come on board to visit the ship, meet the 65 nationalities, the crew members, and each one of us, we have a story to tell. That's what we used to say. And that story is our testimony, right? That's how God worked in our life, how He turned our lives around, and even how we end up on the ship. Everyone has a unique story, how they end up on the ship, how God worked in their life. And through that story, we're trying to encourage the churches to get them more involved in ministry. When we go to countries like Muslim countries, the ship has been through there as well, we cannot spread the gospel just like that, because it's not allowed, right? But our story, how God worked in our life, that's something that we are allowed to share. And that's a way we can spread the gospel with the people. And even today, I was coming to the church, and the bus is terrible, honestly. I'm so sorry for that, but yeah. And I was late to our arrival at church at 50. Yeah, what is? Oh, not even now. We've not been here. And I ordered the Uber, and that gave me the opportunity to speak with the Muslim, to tell him a little bit about myself, a little bit about the ship. He invited me to the ship, and we pray that he's going to find about Jesus, right? So, if you're interested, what is the ship about? Come to see the ship, speak, interact with the crew members, and then find out about the ship. The ship is considered as the largest floating buffer on the world. It's a bookshop, basically. That's our main way to attract people on board, right? We have over 5,000 different titles, and on the ship it fits around 800,000 books. So we have lots of books. We have books for kids, for cooking, educational. We have Bibles, so if you're looking for a brand new Bible, you can find it there. And all kinds of books, honestly. We have novels and many other books. So if you're a book lover, I know that the UK usually is, you might find yourself there enjoying. And then I'm just going to tell you that the books are varying on a price from 50p to maybe 10 or more. Depends on the kind of book you're going to buy. But the range is normally 3p pounds. Yeah. So I hope you will enjoy that. And then as well, when we come on board, like I said, we are trying to be involved with the churches. What does that mean? If your church, for example, is already involved into something, you have a ministry here at Cardiff or in the cities around, we would like to connect with you to come alongside, to send a team from the ship and go with you and whatever you're doing already. That may be sharing the gospel with the women, so we can send some women who are working with the refugees. We can send some of our people to help you with that. Or something within your church, maybe the youth group, we can send a team to come and share about their lives, their testimonies, and to try and influence the youth, right? Because our vision is to see the list reach the 3 million video that you saw about 3 million people they do not know about Christ. That's our main vision, right? On the surface, we say sharing knowledge, help, and hope, which is true, but as well, we want to mobilize the churches to be involved more in the missions. So, if you have a ministry, maybe with the church, maybe by yourself, and you're interested in receiving a team from the ship, you can contact us by the QR code, or maybe you can drop us a link in the email, lotus.cardiff@gmail.com. So we can do that. And as well, we have events on board. We have lots of events on board. So we have events for kids, for youth. We have events for adults and for for elderly events as well. We have events for pastors and just simple events like worship nights, prayer nights. We have multicultural events. So if you're interested in attending some of those events, most of them are, of course, utilizing the churches. You're more than willing to come and join us. And as well, you can book a tour of the ship and come and they will give you a full tour about the ship. And it's not about just seeing the ship. If you're interested in being involved with the ship, that's a great opportunity for you because they will tell you more about the ministry than what I have on the ministry. They will explain what we are doing and then how can you be involved. That being through give, pray, and go. Yeah, so you can go to the missions, whether it's here in Cardiff or somewhere else around. You can give to the ministry, to the ship, to other ministries. I know you're already involved with the PNG, right? And some other ministries. That's amazing. Where you can pray, which is something really, really needed. So you can do those things. And as well, something I forgot, you can visit the ship for £1. That's the entrance. If you're under 12 or over 65, the entrance is for free. We usually work from Tuesday to Saturdays from 10 to 10, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. And then on Sundays from 1 p.m. to 10 p.m., right? So you can come visit the ship. The ship is going to be in Cardiff Bay. Thank you so much. Once again, that's my timer. I'm off in the States. Thank you so much. Please scan the QR code. Follow the link. Search us. Logoscope.uk. Logoscope.uk on Instagram. We're going to post about our visit there. And then as well, I'll be here after church. You can come ask me questions if you're interested, anything like that. I'll be here. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Awesome. Sorry we couldn't give you more time, but that is great. And so, just the thought of living on the ship for one week. Do you take four children without the parents? Speak to Chris as well from Annex, who's going to be doing the best for the worship back there. I use Chris as a Cardiff leader to be at the time down there at breakfast down there. The tours are going to be as well, isn't it? I mean, you can get a solo church team down there, and also very young people thinking of doing a gap year or mission trip or a summer trip. And that would be amazing opportunity. So thank you, mate. And we'll be sharing more about that for September, but we'll also be praying as well. Jess, come up, mate. We're going to ask some questions together. And so, Jess, we were praying for you guys, probably about a month ago, at the beginning of the month, praying for you guys going out to Cyprus, in two groups. Tell us about Where you went and why. First of all, thank you for your prayers.
Prayer does change things. And so I just want to say thank you. Genuine gratitude for all those of you that prayed for me. We did feel that effect. In our protection and security. Our love for one another. So thanks for that. It's a good reminder that prayers is a mighty weapon, powerful weapon. So there were four pastors, four churches in Cyprus, very kingdom focused, working together. Their wives knew each other. They were compatible with the North Cardiff network, and they invited Wales Revival Alliance to bring a team of evangelists over there. I think there were a team of ten of us. And it was about two or three months in the prep, so lots of prayers and fasting, lots of preparation for us to arrive.
That was the great story. Tell us about maybe a great story that John Poole's rescue. This one really struck me, wasn't the personal experience of my team.
So there was a lady who had significant thyroid problems, lots of complications. She pretty much exhausted. And we're really blessed with a good NHS, good health care system. work hard in the physical realm, you know, they understand physical rules, treatments and stuff. But she was looking for God's power, really. Lots of complications, exhausted every avenue, came in faith. Two or three of the team members laid hands on her. God's power was manifested in her, and you could see something was on the move. Tone lightened, her face started to smile, she started to shift physically. And I thought, wow, that looks really, really interesting. Instant, we would say that's a miracle. Now, I'm a bit of a skeptic, and I think to myself, are they being caught up in this thing? So obviously, when they arrive, they kind of know what to expect when they come in with it. So part of me was in that space before I went on mission. And then we had a word back 2 weeks later. We went back for a routine medical appointment. We have GPs and other healthcare professionals. We went back for a routine appointment, did some quick tests, and we find no evidence of thyroid. We serve a mighty God. And there are moments, a bit like Moses in the burning bush, when, and this is true for me, we've been doing this for about a year, when God's grace and his love means we've got to be humble enough to expand our theology. Sometimes we are perfect, sometimes it blows our expectations, and that was certainly true for us.
And we share this week when you go to a conference, maybe, or a youth brigade, or a youth brigade, or a mission trip. Sometimes you feel that, oh, God's leading here, and then you come back and you know. Maybe just God just lives in
the sanctuary,
so he lives in
tents,
or whatever. That's not true, is it?
It isn't true. No, praise God. When I arrived home, as you know, Dan, my son and I do the door-to-door evangelism, and every single week we go out. Usually two or three of you think you can see the Spirit moving. Time for a confession. It's a good confession since. Shirley was away catching some old university friends for a weekend, and I was in charge of that. You know what's the fun of that, right? So three staple meals, pizza, and pizza. from his favourite place, Fireway, lots of Fireway pizza. Shout out to the boys at Fireway. So I went down there with a ton of milkshakes, his favourite, and I had the chosen tract. And the chosen tract is just a gentle way of introducing the people to Jesus. I know the guy a little bit, because Dan needs a few pieces from that. He said, there'll be about 10, 15 minutes. Do you want to wait? He said, yeah, no problem. And there were two workers on the table. And I said, do you mind if I can join you? He said, no, not at all. So we did a bit of small talk, the weather, you're on your break, how many pizzas do you eat, etc., etc. And this easy question is, what are you watching on TV? Oh, this and that. I said, do you enjoy TV programs? Pretty much everyone said yes. And then I say, I've been watching this. It's called The Chosen. It's really cool. You get a free app where you can watch on Amazon, or you can just watch on YouTube. Their age group uses YouTube. And I say, truth is, you've got to watch a couple of episodes to get into it. But I got into it, it was awesome. You can see what Jesus is really like. And see what you think. Everyone on the planet so far has been. Quite open to that idea. Now, with the door-to-door, because we've got an app, I know which people have been really open to it and where they live. In about 4 weeks later, we speed back around and follow that up.
Yeah, we're so into it, and we share as well, to view. I said, because of my parents, I would have just started small chat, maybe abuse, I would never have done that before, so even that is kind of a thing. But it sounds like we've been sharing, since we've become baptized, this is what we can do in our life. We all have neighbours, friends, and people you meet that, if we're honest, it could be quite hard to share the gospel with. Hard opportunities, but you've just said that being a bit more intentional.
Yes.
And looking for strangers.
Well, I mean, God's really good. As soon as you get into this stuff, he sorts things out. So I've got a cockapoo who I really good all the time for. He's a good companion, Benji, and he's fine. We go for a walk every day at lunchtime. And the night before, I was woken up every single hour. I was really, really tired. So I said to Benji, can't go on a normal route, but let's take a shortcut. We went on a shortcut, and at the bottom of this field was a chap, and this word of knowledge came from the Spirit and said, new adventure. That's a bit random, but I'll go with it. Started to trust this process. I could see he was on the phone, so it would be rude to interrupt him. He had a bit of a backpack on him. And so eventually he passed me. And with boldness that comes from only from the Holy Spirit, I said, "Hey mate, are you on a new adventure?" And he twisted around. And he said, yeah. He said, I'm coming off heroin. I want to start a new life. I said, "Hey man, I've got some good things to share with you, mate." So we walked and we talked. And this is the other thing I've learned. It's not within our right to determine the next move we should make in the relationship with Jesus. It's for them to push back slightly. So I take them as far as I can until they go, no, I can't do that. So for example, I said, at some point, I said, talk about Jesus. Would you like me to pray for you? He said, not in a minute, mate. No, not in a minute. So, okay, so that's the point we're up to. So then I said, Benjamin, I've got to go off this way. He said, don't go, mate. I want to walk and talk some more with you. I thought, I bet you are. So we walked for 15 minutes into town, got to his new place. By that time, I knew he had a Bible. He committed to read it. He knew and understood how to pray and where his local church was. Praise God.
And that's really encouraging with the old congregation and his story as well. But also, like people share Jesus in different ways, whether that's at the tournament group, or whether that was 15 years, or whether that's with door to door as well. So if you think, oh yeah, I'd like to have a go at that, or just come and pray, or we're thinking of how we do more, maybe this more intentional evangelism, maybe with prayer cafe, or something like that. And then speaking to you, or Alan, which is really encouraging to see what the Lord is doing in our lives. And in and amongst us. And just that encouragement to be open to the Spirit and to be a bit more intentional. And also, look to the strength as well. Because if a stranger who I'm not sharing the word with might be your son who we've been praying with for years. Do you mean, or it might be a neighbor that you've been praying for years and not had an opportunity. But if we have that intention to share Jesus with strangers, then we could be the answer to people's prayers with that. So thanks so much, mate. We're going to be praying for that at the end as well. So thank you so much. Let's give Jason a round of applause. And Dan, it's great to have Dan here with us. Sorry, if you put the original PowerPoint back, that would be great. Sorry, I have a slide there for Cyprus. So, that was the Cyprus part of it. And then this is Dan from PNG. So, a boy brought up in Thornhill. Gareth, of course. That's where Lisa and Rachel are, one of them year.
Three and then 12.
It's definitely a story I leave that to speak for them. But yeah, tell us that you've been on the internet, and we know you came because of Rachel's mother.
Thanks so much. Thanks as well. I'll echo what Jason was saying about you guys praying for us up there in PNG. If we're a follower of Christ, then we're called to be a disciple, right? To be not a Facebook follower, so he's like a button, isn't it? On your computer, and you can say, I'm a follower of this or that. But actually, being a true follower of Jesus means laying down your life, doing whatever he calls you to do, right? And that's our job in PNG. If you've not met us before, then I'm Dan, I'm Rachel, who's not well at the moment, so didn't make it out to me today. We've been serving in PNG for the last 20 or so years, and we call church planting. So we're sharing the gospel, and then those people who come to know Christ, we are discipling and equipping and providing the necessary resources that they need in their language, in their mother tongue, so that they can also make disciples. That's what we should be doing, right? We should be disciple-making disciples. Now, discipleship question for you. Imagine that somebody from your church came to you and said, I married a non-Christian. They're very violent. In fact, last week I had to run away from my husband because he tried killing me with his jet. The problem is that because we paid the bride price for me, I'm essentially his property. What do I do? How would you answer that question? That's a typical question that we might face in our church in Papua New Guinea. Another one that comes to mind, what happens if somebody has a whole bunch of livestock and all of a sudden they die? Well, the community around who are animistic, they believe in the spirit world very strongly, and that the spirit world influences everything in life. They say, hey, the reason all your livestock died is because your dead mother, she's angry with you, and you need to sacrifice a chicken or some animal to appease her spirit. And then this believer comes to you and says, what should I do? All my livestock has died. That doesn't typically happen. How would you decide that type of person in that situation? So much of our job now that we have the New Testament translated into the mother tongue of the people is getting out there among the sheep, among the believers, and sitting down with them and going through life with people. Trying to find out where people are. I think one of two brothers here was just sharing, talking a bit about what it means to be growing in your area of discipleship. So if you don't know Christ, then your first step is you need to know Christ. If you do know Christ, your next step might be your marriage, it might be your parenting, it might be what you do with your money, it might be what you do with your time. Discipleship covers every area of life. Where are you weak as a Christian? And so that is what we're about. Rachel and myself, one of the things that we absolutely love is getting into people's houses and sitting down with people, finding out what's going on. So situations come up that they have issues that they need to work through. It might be things like temptation. So theft in PNG is rife. It seems, in a sense, acceptable. Lying, cheating, manipulating, and deceiving is very commonplace. And it's not frowned on hugely. So how do you help somebody who has an issue with lying or deceiving other people? I've already mentioned animism or superstition. That's huge in their culture. How do you help people who have this tendency to go back to old ways of living? Or behaving, putting their trust in their own animistic worldview. So these are issues that come up day to day in the church, among the believers there, and our job is to help guide those individuals using the word of God and prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit to enable these people to start living life in Christ. And I tell you what, if you've ever tried to To disciple anybody, you know it's an uphill struggle, right? We're not just about conversions, but conversion, of course, is the start. We're about seeing people transformed into the image of Jesus. And in PNG, particularly where we live, that is about. And it is about living, isn't it? Tribal mentality is something that pervades their thinking. So they often want to do things as a group rather than Be very individualistic, like we are in our home in the UK. You do things as a group, so it's a lot of social pressure to perform. So, for example, I know in voting season in the UK, you're free usually to vote for whoever you want. In PNG, when election season comes around, you follow your family and your clan. If you don't, then you can get yourself into serious trouble. We've heard of people having their houses burned down, being run out of their villages because they voted against what everybody else voted for. So a lot of social pressure, PNG. And I mentioned temptation. In our area where we live, in the highlands of New Guinea, so we have access to towns, villages, and people have their smartphones. Sadly, these things, if you buy them in PNG, often come preloaded with pornography. And pornography now is becoming widespread, so a lot of people are viewing that, and a lot of other filth and disgusting content that they're seeing on their phones. And it's become part of their daily lives, and they're getting very influenced by the outside world. Not for good, for bad. So how do we help in this situation that we find ourselves in, where we're trying to hold on to our young people, and all the influences are pulling them away, just like here in the UK? How do you help to educate and equip young people for dating and marriage? These people have, just 100 years ago, were Stone Age people. So they don't have a lot of history of resources to help them to navigate through some of these things, like how do you date as a Christian? How do you even choose a spouse as a Christian? There's also pressure from their families to marry somebody with money or means. I mentioned bride price, it's already one of those issues that cause parents to sell off their daughter to the guy with the most money, regardless of whether he's supporting Christ or not. All these issues are things that we are wrestling with every day. So some of the highlights from this last year are that the church, of which there are probably about 30 brothers and sisters who gather every week, and a whole bunch of kids, unity has been restored, praise the Lord. There was a major rift in the church, Satan left to sow discord, and two of the main characters of the church, they fell out and took a bunch of people with them. The praise God for restoration this last year, we really appreciate the prayers for that. Rachel's been very much enjoying meeting with the women have been gathering every week for Bible study and prayer, and Rachel said it's a thrill to no longer be a missionary, but just be part of the sisterhood, where they speak into my life as much as I'm speaking into theirs. We're sharing scripture together. She said, I love seeing them flicking through their New Testaments they've received, and they've highlighted verses in there, they've cross-referencing. Sharing scripture is a real thrill. So you can continue to pray for that women's group. Many of them come from homes where their husbands are followers of Christ. Pray for them. We have three guys that I've been training every week. Pray for them as well. Pray for me as I work through them in how to teach scripture. Now these guys are largely uneducated and certainly don't have a background in theology, not in a Bible school, and so they're raw materials to work with. You can pray for me as I gently introduce the idea of how you even start to interpret scripture and how you teach. So please pray for me and that. I have three guys who are committed to meeting every week and sharing the word of God while I'm away. I don't know how that's going on. I'll hopefully find out in a few weeks when we return. You can also be praying for the Sunday school work that seems to be going well. We had a new building built just very recently, and they've loved their new building, and the Sunday school work seems to be going well. The Sunday school teachers, pray for unity. It seems, again, Satan uses conflicts within the church to foster that disunity and ultimately bring down his word. I've got a few seconds left. My 10 minutes is up. So how's this next year going to look? We're planning to head back on the 29th of this month. And with our youngest, Rebecca, she has 1 year of PNG before she graduates high school. What do we hope to accomplish? We hope to get the New Testament audio Bible done in January. So you can pray for us for that. There's an organization called Faith Comes by Hearing. They do these dramatized versions. So we need 11 good readers. So as we try to prepare our tribal people to improve their reading, pray for us in that. We'd love to be able to hand out these little MP3. Solar rechargeable players so they can use them in their homes. We're going to finish training these three guys to teach the Bible well. We can be friends with a guy whose name is Jeffrey and his wife. They're in another valley away from us. They got married within this last year. Our first Christian wedding we had. Praise God for that. I'm going to tell you more about that, but speak to me afterwards. They're in another valley. They want to start church planting in their valley. So you can pray for us as we try and equip them as well. So that's Jeffrey and Teresa. Also for a bunch of unrepentant brothers in the church who've left over this last year. I think we have about 6 or 7 guys who left for various reasons. Sin, relationship issues. So you can pray for their restoration and how we can go about that. To come about. And we need some youth leaders. We need some people who are going to take on the youth ministry and see that as a huge need to be filled. So please pray for that. And then as we go around visiting different individuals, trying to find out where they're at and where they need to grow as disciples of Christ. And finally, for Rebecca, she finishes up her year in PNG and says goodbye to everything that she's known, friends that she's made, and life. For her, that's always hard for MK's missionary kids as they leave the mission field and say goodbye to them. So that is my time up. Thank you very much. I pray for you, Francis. Lovely to see you all.
Great. That was great, wasn't it? Just hearing the three different things, but suddenly you thought, that's so big. Almost that's too big. Those millions of people have yet to go, God can do that in Cyprus, being in all my family situations, on the street, whatever it is. And some of the things that Dan is and Rachel have been going through seems really big, really big. But the fact that you're in this right now, being changed by God's grace, that's a pretty big thing as well. You were probably in a possible position, and God has turned around to touch your heart. So all things are possible. All things are possible in Christ. And so I love doing this. We're just going to pray to it. It's not me to pray. It doesn't need anything. We're going to go into groups. So just keep around you. Move the chairs around. Between three and five. Okay, don't just make a massive group. Just between three and five. If you're not a Christian, That's okay. You don't need to pray. Just walk here. Well, let's do it. Listen to what they say. Or if you don't really want to pray out loud, that's okay as well. But this is an opportunity for us to pray together. And so free to pray for our local school and the work that they do and also what's happening. Cardiff. I pray for the people that were touched in Cyprus with Jason and the team, for the work that we've got here, and also us as well, as a church, of how we can stretch ourselves, and pray for the many prayer requests he sent. Let's go to the group of three to five. We'll have a song to end, or play any background music, or anything that we're just going to pray for these things, and then I'll come up after that, and we'll pray for the love of him.